Welcome back to another episode of the Jacob Johnston Show. Now, I know for those of you who have been listening to this podcast for a while, I'm sure you get pretty frustrated that I'm not able to put content out every single week. Heck, I'm sure there's a lot of you that wish that I would do a daily episode. It's just, unfortunately, everything that goes on in my life and how hectic it is, I'm just not able to get around to ensuring a daily episode for sure, but even a weekly episode gets pretty difficult. But I do get out here and put out content as much as possible and try to hit the biggest issues that have come about. So I'm going to start off here once again talking about the public school system. Yes, so in previous episodes, I've talked about all the ways in which the public school system has become the biggest threat to your child and how long term it's becoming a threat to freedom and democracy for the future of this country. And the evidence keeps mounting on that premise. So, for instance, an article from The Blaze has come out and informed that an Ohio school district, which is the Columbus City School, the largest school district in Ohio, spent over $24,000 on consultants who gave presentations to teachers on how to hide the gender identity of students from their parents. That's right. How to talk about cis privilege and claim that children are not too young to talk about gender. $24,000 the school spent on trying to learn how to hide from the parents what the teachers are teaching the students. Think about that. If the schools thought that they were doing nothing wrong, do you think they would be going through all this effort and spending all this money to try and hide from the parents what it is they are doing in that school? Or is it only people who know that their behaviors are disgusting and depraved who feel like they have to hide? I mean, if they thought everything that they were doing was great and above board, they wouldn't be hiding it. They would be proudly cheering it on, you know, proudly proclaiming it to everybody. But no, they're doing everything they can in the school system to hide from parents what they are teaching the students, what they are indoctrinating them with, what they are doing. And they are encouraging students to lie to their parents, to keep secrets from their parents. This is not a good trend. And so the best way that we can go about combating this at this moment is, parents, we need to be very involved with everything that's going on in that school. I know they're going to try and hide it, but we need to be very involved, and we need to be constantly having conversations with our kids, talking to them about what the left is doing, talking to them about why they're trying to convince them that gender is fluid and that transgenderism is a real thing, that it's all about brainwashing and control. We need to be having conversations about how our kids need to be informing on their teachers. And I would even go through and say, hey, you know, if kids are still able to, I know when I was in school, I would pretty much have my books and everything in a backpack, and I'd carry my backpack from class to class. Maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to have the kids be audio recording, you know, have an audio recorder in their backpack to record exactly what it is their teachers are saying. Now, video recording would be fairly difficult to get away with, as most people can pretty much spot a video camera. But if you can go through and just have an audio recording of everything that is going on in the classroom, and then, you know, go through and use that to stay informed of what the teachers are pushing on the students. And then also, in every place possible, have the kids be bringing home their textbooks, bringing home their homework, so that you can start reviewing what it is the schools are pushing on these students. You know, the days of us being able to trust the public school system to be nonpartisan, to be going through and educating rather than trying to push a political agenda, those days are gone. That trust is out the window. They have proven time and time again that the public school system cannot be trusted. And I'll freely admit, I have zero faith, zero confidence, zero trust in the public school system. Just like I have zero faith, trust, or confidence in the FBI or the Department of Justice. Everywhere where the Democrats are in control, they prove to be corrupt, they prove to be authoritarian, and they prove to be a threat to our future, a threat to our democracy and our freedoms. So we need to be very active. And we need to be submitting Freedom of Information Act requests to get access to all books, a list of all books that are in the public libraries as well as all books that they are using for teaching. And then what I would say is we would have, as far as what textbooks that they are using, if they try to lie after submitting that Freedom of Information Act, sue them. Then I would also be having conversation with the kids to start pushing back on what the teachers are trying to say about transgenderism being a thing, you know, and gender ideology and all that crap. Push back on them on that. Tell them to push back. And if the school tries to go through and punish them for it, then maybe that would be setting up a lawsuit for violating their First Amendment rights to speak the truth. You know, we need to be starting to put, not only pressure, but we need to be going through and we need to be filing lawsuits against what the schools are doing. It seems to be working when it comes to the police and these First Amendment audits. Yeah, I mean, that is another thing. You know, if you're familiar with First Amendment audits and people that are starting to go out there and record the police and everything, this has been going on for years. The idea that the police are generally good people, the thin blue line and all of that, and that it's only a few corrupt officers that are spoiling it for the rest. Well, that is becoming less and less true, and it's becoming more and more evident that police officers are not always the good guy. Yes, we are the law and order side, but what happens when the police are the ones violating the law, are the ones violating civil rights, your constitutional rights, and so forth? I mean, we can believe in law and order and still be against criminal cops. And so I'm going to be going in in the upcoming weeks, pretty much on the next episode, covering what the First Amendment auditors and police watchers have found out and what they have caught on recording. But as is the case, whether it's the police officers, the FBI, the DOJ, all of the corruption, all of the threats to our democracy, all start with what's going on in the public school system and what has been going on for decades beneath our nose, and how they've been getting increasingly worse. In any event, you know, I'm not going to go through and keep harping, you know, on this episode, how we need to get more involved in the schools, keep a close eye. You know, maybe some of those people who are putting all their cameras on the police officer should be really going through and putting a detailed investigation into everything that is happening in the public school system, because it is utterly unacceptable and disgusting that they are spending tens of thousands of dollars on training on how to hide what they are teaching the students and what they are doing with our kids in the public schools from parents. Totally unacceptable. Okay, so in the next instance here, so there is a movie out there that is making the rounds, right? And it has to deal with child sex trafficking, right? And apparently the Democrats are upset about a movie that is shining a light on the problems of minor sex trafficking. Now, I don't know why the Democrats have a problem with highlighting this issue, but now they're going through and, well, let me go through these three articles here, and then maybe you'll better be able to understand my point that I'm about to make. So, in California, and this is reported by Red State, California Democrats block a bill that would make human trafficking of a minor a serious felony. So increasing punishment for trafficking minors and forced prostitution of minors, they're against that. They're against increasing punishment for that. You know, and apparently, you know, the problem that they have with The Sound of Freedom, you know, that's the name of the movie here, and everything going through, they're too afraid that, you know, they would be playing into, you know, the politics and Republican views and, you know, potential xenophobia. All right, so what we appear to be saying here is being anti-child sex trafficking is a right-wing view. So by default, it means the left is perfectly fine and encourage child sex trafficking. Isn't that amazing? I mean, what type of politician would not be, you know, immediately behind increasing the punishment for the sex trafficking of a minor? Unbelievable. And then you also see here, as reported by the Epoch Times, that the White House has removed information from its website about child sex trafficking. Oh, yes. The Department of Justice has quietly taken down a series of sections from its website related to both domestic and international child sex trafficking, including portions that offer information about U.S. minors being recruited and exploited into the commercial sex industry. According to the archived versions of the website, the agency previously provided detailed information about international sex trafficking of minor, domestic sex trafficking of minor, and child victims of prostitution. So the updated version of the webpage completely erased all three sections, which were added during President Trump's tenure on May 28, 2020, to counsel Americans about tactics that are being used by pimps and human traffickers targeting vulnerable children and luring them into prostitution. Okay, so you have Democrats blocking anything that would increase the penalties for child sex trafficking while taking down and removing information about how to identify child sex trafficking and how to go about, you know, reporting it or trying to stop it. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at another article here from Fox News about how the Democrats have been blocking a bill by a Texas congressman to collect biometric data on immigrants at the southern border. All right, so let's take a look at this holistically, right? And we can take a look at, you know, what was presented in the Sound of Freedom, which, you know, whether or not it's fully accurate or just based on a true story and over-dramatized, you know, I'm not concerned about necessarily the complete accuracy of a Hollywood film, right? But we take a look here at what we have just presented. So the Democrats have basically engaged in open border policies, right? This is putting all the pieces together. They want to block anything that would be able to keep track of and identify those who have crossed the borders illegally. At the same time, the public schools are trying to engage in the sexual indoctrination of children all the way starting at preschool and kindergarten, while the Democrats are also trying to block any legislation that would increase the penalties of child sex trafficking, taking away information on what resources are available to identify and report child sex trafficking. And then to top it off, over the past couple of years, the Democrats have been trying to decrease the stigmatization of pedophilia, you know, of pedophiles, and trying to give them new names that are more fluffy sounding names like MAP, minor attracted person, right? And you wonder why I think the Democrats and the public school system are a threat to our children. Because basically, it seems like right now, they are importing child sex slaves, trying to make it hard to identify, report, and you know, punish those engaged in the sex trafficking of children, while at the same time trying to take, you know, the children of today, American children, and trying to normalize them being used as sex toys. Think about that one for a moment. Because right now, you know, people would still be upset about their child being used as sex. But the next generation is convinced that that is normalized. Well, what's going to happen in the future? And this is another issue about the open borders. You know, the Democrats use open borders. They try to claim that trying to control our borders is xenophobic and racist, when really, all it is them trying to keep their cheap labor. They're as close to slave labor as they can get, as well as their sex slave, is what the Democrats are all engaged in. And when you go through all of the information, try to argue that I'm wrong. Try to argue that I'm wrong. You know, they want open borders. They don't want to, you know, stop human trafficking, as they don't want to increase punishment on the sex trafficking of minors, while trying to go through and decrease the stigma around pedophilia and trying to engage in the sexualization of American children starting in preschool. What else could be, you know, find any rational explanation other than the Democrats' disgusting and depraved behavior? You know, their desires for slaves and sex slaves. Try and find me any rational explanation. Or try to find me any rational explanation why we should trust a school system that is spending tens of thousands of dollars to try and keep secret from the parents what they are teaching the students. It is just, utterly sick and disgusting that anybody puts up with the Democrats. I'm sorry, but there is not a decent Democrat out there. If you're a Democrat, you are a horrible, disgusting, depraved individual, right? Or you're a complete fucking moron. And no, I'm not going to censor my language. You are a complete moron, or you're a depraved individual. There is no such thing as an intelligent, decent Democrat. Not in 2023. Not with everything that they have shown themselves to be. Okay, moving on here. So just a brief touch on this. The media's desperation to try and convince you that Biden, that illegitimate fraud in the White House, is anything less than a complete and total disaster here. Chuck Todd is out there trying to tell people that, you know, the Americans are not feeling Bidenomics and perplexed why, you know, Biden's approval rating is low at 41% as of late June and nearly the lowest during his presidency, which I'm actually surprised it's anywhere near that high. I'd figure it should be around 12%, if that. But it just goes to show that Democrats, they don't care about results. They don't care about policy. They just care about whether or not a person has a D or an R by their name, which is part of a larger problem in the country. You know, they would support Hitler if he had a D by his name. So in any event, you know, it goes on to say that respondents cited the economy and high inflation rates as their top concern. And Todd touched on this during a segment. You know, President Biden is hoping to claim credit for what is an improving economy. And he's ramping up the messaging tour focused on the economic agenda that he is embracing and calling Bidenomics. The problem with Bidenomics is not that people aren't feeling it, is that people are feeling it. And that's the problem. Bidenomics is horrible. It's been a horrible economy ever since Biden took office. Now, some of that you could say was due to the coronavirus, but the coronavirus pandemic ended long before Biden took office. The only issue was that the Democrats in the states that they controlled kept the economy shut down purposely for election politics to try and inflict economic pain. But we had years of a booming economy, rising wages, and low inflation. Then Biden comes into office. He goes through and he passes a stimulus plan that everyone said is not only unnecessary, but would cause mass inflation. And so now when they go out there and try and say, well, you know, inflation has really dropped down to 4%. Well, you got to understand that's 4%, which is twice what it ever was under Trump. But that's on top of the previous years, you know, 10, 12, 14%. So that is still a massive gain in the short time that Biden has been in office. And people are feeling Bidenomics, and it sucks. But they're trying to convince us that it's somehow great. It's great that your wages are able to purchase less than before. You know, because, you know, climate change. We got to reduce demand to reduce production to reduce greenhouse emission. And you notice, the more the American people suffer, the more the elitists proclaim how great everything is and that everything is just the best it could ever be. But when the American people are prospering, the media is out there trying to convince you that the sky is falling and everything is horrible. So, I mean, that's just a little takeaway. I mean, how much can we really go off and talk about how much the economy sucks, how much people are financially hurting, and how the media, which has completely abandoned anything that resembles journalism, and has become nothing but a propaganda network. I mean, at some point, you just start taking a look at what they are reporting, and you just take it with a grain of salt as, hey, you know, just more fake news, just more false information, just more lies. But they're going out there and still trying to push it. And the fact that there is still, you know, a number of people that still watch these networks is amazing. It just goes to show that there are large segments of people that don't care about truth or facts. They just want to be lied to. They want to be lied to and convinced that, okay, they're suffering so other people can benefit. I mean, even though they're not benefiting from the economy, even though they're worse off, they must be the outlier. And therefore, they are nobly sacrificing their income opportunity and financial ability to take care of themselves for the greater good. That's how they're trying to sell it to themselves, while listening to all the lies being propagated on all of the alphabet news network. Either that, or they're trying to convince themselves that people are prospering in all over the country except for where they're at if they live under a Republican legislature, under a Republican governor. And therefore, they take that as somehow evidence that, you know, Democrats are running things better than Republicans, when in reality, the Republicans are running things better than the Democrats, and the people in Republican states are doing better than Democrat states. But it still sucks because the overall policies being implemented by Joe Biden administration and the Democrats, you know, in Congress, you know, or in the Senate, that during the first 2 years screwed everything up and then refused to allow anything that would fix the problem from going through. So anyways, enough about that. I'm just going to move on. All right. I mean, I could go on a tangent for a long time, but I'm just going to move on. Okay. So one of the big stories that has happened recently in the media is cocaine found in the White House. Oh, yes. And they completed their investigation and determined they couldn't figure out who left the cocaine. Now, we're supposed to believe that if you think that is any way, shape, or form, somehow, Hunter Biden's cocaine, then you are a horrible, disgusting person. And that's just a baseless conspiracy theory. Okay, well, let's actually take a look at this. Biden's son visits the White House frequently, is a known cocaine and, well, an addict of various drugs, right? Then, you know, we take a look at the, you know, situation and go, there are security cameras all over the place. Who could reach that particular destination with a bag of cocaine, not ever having to worry about being searched, and, you know, and tends to forget their stuff in other locations, like a laptop, for example? I wonder. Then you go through and you take a look at, you know, there's a lot of security cameras in the White House, probably covering every last inch of every single hallway. What are the chances that somebody would be able to get through all of that, set down their bag, you know, a case of cocaine, and not be seen? Very unlikely. So we got a president whose son is a cocaine addict, visits the White House regularly, and we're supposed to believe that with all the security cameras, they can't figure out whose cocaine it was. Hey, did they check to see if maybe the bag that the cocaine was in, you know, was embroidered with the name of the owner of the bag? You know, does it say Hunter Biden on the bag? I mean, heck, even if it did, they'd still say they couldn't find the suspect. They couldn't figure out whose it is, which just goes on to that two-tier system of justice, you know, where if you're a Democrat, you can't be convicted of anything whatsoever. But if you're a Republican, you'll be convicted of imaginary crime. The two-tier justice system is utterly disgusting. And the fact that they believe that the American people are dumb enough to believe that they couldn't figure out whose cocaine that was is just beyond the pale of insulting. They think you're idiots. They know exactly whose cocaine that is. They probably have it on camera, Hunter Biden walking through the White House and then setting it down and forgetting to pick it up. And their goal here is not to investigate and hold accountable anybody for their criminal activities. But as always, the Department of Justice, the FBI, the Secret Service, they believe their main goal is to protect Democrats from criminal prosecution. And then there's more related to Hunter Biden. This coming from the Daily Caller. Hunter Biden associates took millions from Chinese company, then paid missing Biden witness now charged by the Department of Justice. Oh, really? The Department of Justice on Monday, you know, charged a key witness in the investigation into alleged Biden family corruption for taking money from the same Chinese firm that paid Hunter Biden business and associates millions, according to Department of Justice records. Now, you can go through and you can read this, but isn't that amazing? A witness comes forward, you know, for the crimes of the Biden family. You know, a witness comes forward, provides witness testimony and information about the criminal activities of the Biden family, and it's the witness that the Department of Justice is looking to charge with a crime and wanting to arrest. Meanwhile, despite having all the evidence against Hunter Biden and the Biden family, all of the criminal activities that they have engaged in, gift wrapped for them, handed to them, irrefutable evidence of their criminal activities, just handed to them on a silver platter where even a first year pre-law student could try the case and win. And they can't bring any charges. The investigation is taking years and years and years. Indefinitely an investigation, no prosecution will ever be brought. But a witness steps forward, and the witness is the one the Department of Justice is trying to charge with a crime. Now, I get it. Maybe the witness did commit a crime, but it's just funny how fast the Department of Justice is moving on the witness and basically trying to silence him and shut him up and so forth, and how much they are dragging their feet despite having all the evidence they could ever possibly hope for against the Biden family and doing nothing about it. And then, of course, when we take a look at all of this, right, everything from the beginning, from the schools doing everything they can to hide the disgusting activities that they are engaged in the public schools, to the information about the Democrats, you know, trying to protect child sex traffickers, apparently, and open border policies, trying to get, you know, such that illegal immigrants who cross into the United States are somehow allowed to vote, and so forth. We come to the end here, and that is the Biden administration doing an end run around the Second Amendment of the Constitution. Instead of just trying to go through and get a constitutional amendment or trying to go through and, you know, strip us of our gun rights unconstitutionally outright, they're doing another process here. And that is, they're just focused on closing all the gun stores. They're focused on basically shutting down all the places in which you can buy the guns to exercise your Second Amendment rights. Because after all, you know, no one's withholding from you the right to bear arms. We're just making it so that there's no place you can go to buy the arm. And so we see this here as reported by Fox News. You know, a Second Amendment group files lawsuit against ATF over zero tolerance policy. Well, zero tolerance. Well, the problem is for the ATF and so forth is that they keep implementing unconstitutional regulations and doing it with zero authority to actually do so. Now, I've read the Constitution, and nowhere does it say that the executive branch or executive agency have any authority to write any new laws, to write and pass laws. The last time I looked at the Constitution, the lawmaking authority rests solely in the legislative branch. But the executive branch is constantly going out there and trying to write new laws and then enforce those laws. And then if you don't just voluntarily comply with them, then they destroy your business. And so Gun Owners of America filed a suit against the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearm, and Explosives on Tuesday over the agency's zero tolerance guidelines for federal firearm licensees. Inspection guidance from January 2022 that make it easier to revoke gun stores' federal license. Now, I'm trying to figure out why a gun store needs a federal license and how requiring such a license complies with the Constitution. But, you know, asking the government to comply with the Constitution is, well, at this point, it's almost a joke to think that we are still a constitutional republic, considering the government operates and wholeheartedly in violation of the Constitution. It's also is just another more compelling piece of evidence that supports gun owners' demand that Congress defund the ATF. And the article goes on, but basically what they are trying to do is say, okay, we can't just strip you of your Second Amendment rights, not with this Supreme Court, at least. And they're pissed off that the Supreme Court mostly is upholding the Constitution. So they can't just ban it outright. They've been trying to create these secret lists and harass people after they exercise their Second Amendment by randomly showing up on their door and demanding to inspect their guns, which you can just tell the ATF to go pound sand because they have no constitutional ability to just show up on your door and randomly say, you need to show us the guns that you just purchased. In any event, so if they can't go after you for exercising your Second Amendment, what are they doing? They're going after all the businesses that you go to or rely on to have the ability to exercise your Second Amendment. If they just shut down all of the gun stores, there's no place for you to go and buy guns. Therefore, They've shut down the Second Amendment, or your ability to exercise that, without officially interfering or violating the Second Amendment, because they're not saying that you can't buy guns. They're just saying that no one will be licensed to legally sell guns, which I'm still trying to figure out where they get the right to demand that gun shops have to have a federal license. So we can see where this is all going. They're trying to strip you of your guns, trying to engage in the sex slaving, enslaving of children, and doing everything they can to target you. Yeah, this does not bode well for the future of the country, this, you know, and the direction we are headed. All right. So in any event, that's what I have for this episode. I'd like to thank you so much for listening in. I don't know how long it's going to be before I produce another episode, but it should be within the next month. And so if you want me to start producing more episodes, I guess one of the ways we can go about doing that is maybe crowdfunding support, you know, because I do this as a hobby. All the things that I talk about, you know, about or allude to about my life being hectic and not being able to focus on the show is because I'm focusing on the activities that generate income and money for me, whereas this is just a hobby. But if this ended up becoming to the point where it's providing, you know, more money than the other activities that I do, then sure, I would produce more episodes on here. So I'll leave it up to you. If you want more episodes, you can contribute via crowdfunding. You know, I'm a conservative podcaster, so good luck on actually getting much in the way of, you know, sponsors and so forth. You know, and what few sponsors there are for conservative podcasters focuses on the big rhinos, the so-called conservatives that don't actually challenge anything, but really only tell you to, yes, you can feel angry, but don't you dare take any action. Don't you dare do anything about it. Just stand by idly and whine. So yeah, that's my proposal to you. Now, if you want more episodes, then we'll have to find a way to make this financially more beneficial than all the things that I do that distract me from being able to produce the episodes. All right, so that's it. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll be back again at some point.